Hey guys, how you doing? It's Coach Greggs here, the founder of 30 Plus Men's Fitness, and I hope you're all doing great. Guys, I've been getting some fantastic feedback so far from the 30 Plus Men's Fitness podcast this year, and today, just hoping to bring you even more value, I'm sat here virtually with another great person to be on. I am talking to the founder of the Spartan Race, Mr. Joe DeSena. How are you, Joe?
How you doing? I'm super excited that you consider me a worthwhile guest.
Hey, thanks for going on. I know we tried to make it before. I got the times wrong, but I appreciate you. I know it's early there in the morning in America. So, Joe, I know you're a very busy guy. We're not going to beat around the bush too much, okay? Obstacle races are extremely popular now around the world. They've sprung up in the last sort of 5 to 7 years, and I'm doing them. A lot of my clients are doing them, etc. Tell us a little bit about your business, Spartan Race, and how you came along to set up something which has just grown into a monster.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how we did it, but somehow we have become the largest endurance running series in the world. We're 30 countries, 200 events, and it's an unbelievable monster to manage, as you can imagine, on a daily basis, receiving the emails from people all over the world, getting their lives changed. And it all started in a little town in Vermont with this idea that, you know, let's rip some people off the couch. Let's make it a lot more fun than just going out and doing a half marathon or a marathon.
Sure.
Let's create obstacles that emulate life's obstacles. And, let's focus on health, wellness, athleticism. And if we're really crazy, let's go for it and try to get this thing in the Olympics.
Sure.
And that was the mission in 2010, and 7 years later,
wow!
I mean, I'm blown away. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, Joe. That's cool.
I'm blown away because I never thought it would get this big. But when you think about it, it's logical, right? Because every human being can participate. You and I might jump into a basketball game or a hockey game, but we don't have the talent necessarily, the skills to compete in that sport. All human beings can compete in this sport, and it's really a chance to test yourself.
Sure.
And to find out who you are, right, when you're out there.
Okay, so let's go right back to that first event. So it was you who had the idea, or you and a couple of buddies. Tell us about that first event, that first ever Spartan race, because I still remember like taking my first ever boot camp class, and 30 plus has grown all around the country, so I'm really interested to hear about your first experience with the Spartan race.
So I had already been putting on races for 10 years before the first event.
I
couldn't make any of them work economically. I was losing money left, right, and center, but I was enjoying putting on the events and changing lives.
Sure.
2010 was right after the financial crisis, so I had no business spending any more money after losing money for 10 years. But the name Spartan came up in my kitchen. It was a last ditch effort to see if I could make this thing work, and we just did it. And 700 people showed up to that first event.
How did you promote that, Joe?
I had a couple of kids that came out of college that literally went door to door.
Boom.
Door to door, literally, I'm not joking, ripped people out of their dorm rooms. We went on radio. We had put flyers. I mean, we didn't know what the hell we were doing. And it worked. 700 people showed up. We still lost money.
Sure.
We lost money, for the next 6 years. But it turned the corner. I'm relentless. I will never give up, right?
You
got to just keep shooting me and step on me to kill me.
Yeah.
And I'm happy I did it because it's turned in a big way.
So tell us a little bit about the obstacles on that first ever race, and then we'll talk about how it's progressed and the kind of obstacles now which people need to look out for. So how far was the first ever race?
First ever race was about 3 miles.
Okay.
And it's funny, we had gladiators in the woods. So as people were running in the woods, they got confronted. Literally, a couple of gladiators jumped out at them in the woods and scared the piss out of people. And it became so much fun that the crowds left the festival area, and we didn't know where they went. They'd all gone into the woods to watch the reaction of the people that didn't know that was coming. But I happened to have a guy from Discovery Channel on site, and he turned to me and he said, "Holy smokes, you've got something here." And that's what prompted me to say, you know what, I'll spend more money, which I didn't have, to do a few more events and a few more events. And then you get so pregnant that you can't stop.
Yeah. Wow. So Joseph, you said, Joe, that you were doing events for sort of 10 years before that. What was the name of these events? And what actually sparked you to start putting on obstacle races? Because, like I said, it's only really boomed in the last sort of 5 to 7 years in my eyes.
Yeah, you know, I was... I started racing in the mid to late 90s.
Right.
Myself, I was doing very, very long distance, adventure races, explorer type races, 300-500 miles, and it was just transformative for me to get to a place where I only wanted water, food, and shelter, because you forget about all your problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I really started to understand this idea around changing your perspective or your frame of reference. Right. I mean, it goes back to ancient Greece with Stoicism and the philosophers, where very wealthy individuals understood this idea of, you know, go outside for a day and just sleep like a bum.
Yeah.
And just get a perspective, because you're not appreciating what you have unless you don't have it.
Sure.
And I was experiencing that real time in these long races, and I'm an entrepreneur at heart. So in, I think, 2001, I decided I'm going to put on a race.
Yeah.
And I put it on in the British Virgin Islands, and it was an awesome, awesome event, but I lost a ton of money. And then from there, I just kept putting on, I had all different concepts. So there was no different, there was no semblance of a name until maybe around 2005, 2006, I started Death Race.
Cool.
Yeah. And that became pretty, pretty big, and then, but it still didn't make money. And then in 2010, the name Spartan, you know, when I look at our success, I think we're really lucky with our name, because our name embodies what we're doing and what we're asking people to become.
Yeah.
You know, the word Gucci or Tiffany's or Tesla, maybe Tesla means something, right, because of the inventor behind electricity, but this name, I would argue, maybe I drink too much Kool-Aid, it's the greatest brand in the world.
Sure,
I joke with Richard Branson and say, you know, Spartan's much better than Virgin. But I think our success has every bit to do with the name as what we do.
Yeah. What I love, Joe, is that how you said that you'll never give up, you're stubborn, you'll just keep going. And that's something I've always said. I mean, when I've been growing 30-plus men's fitness, I've had a lot of setbacks along the way. But, you know, I always say I'm not going anywhere. This is my mission. My mission is to get 30-plus men's fitness known all over the world with our boot camps, with our online programs. And I've often said that, you know, success is the progressive realization of a worthy idea. And, well, I didn't say that. It was Napoleon Hill. But isn't that so true, buddy? Because nobody actually sees what goes on behind the scenes. You talked a lot about losing money, but just kept on persevering to make it what it is today.
No doubt about it. You've got to continue to... Oh, can you hear me? I'm getting a little feedback.
Yeah, I can hear you fine, buddy. It's recording lovely.
I've been doing business since I'm 13 years old, so I'm 48. So you're talking about 35 years of doing business.
Sure.
And everything that can go wrong does go wrong on a daily basis.
Yep.
I joke with women that have had children, and I say business is tougher than having children. And if they happen to be in business, they'll agree with me.
Really? Yeah.
So this is a tough, tough battle, but so is life. I mean, you know, when things are going well, you get some bad news, whatever it may be, and you got to push through. And so, listen, there are times when you're supposed to pivot. But by and large, the person who quits doesn't realize how close they were to success.
Yes.
So, you know, I wish I could say I was smart. I'm not. I wish I could say, I had, you know, great ideas, great business plans. I didn't. If I've had any success in life, it literally is because I don't quit.
Yeah. And you know, the great thing as well is the best ideas are the most simple ones. And like you said there, like people actually jumping out, you know, dressed as warriors. What a simple idea, but it just captivated your audience, right?
No doubt about it. I mean, I thought maybe there were 50,000 people globally that would do this.
Sure.
We'll have just over 1 million participants. I mean, this is a cult, a movement.
Boom.
in a healthy way.
I love it. I love the whole cult and movement, especially the tribe thing, because that's what I'm trying to do with my band. So, Joe, let me ask you this. You've obviously grown exponentially. You say you're in 30 different countries. Now, we don't want you to list all of them, but could you tell me like five countries, like really random countries that probably people don't know you're in?
Sure. Hungary.
Right.
Chile.
Chile.
Indonesia.
Right.
Taiwan.
Wow.
And then you just close your eyes and throw a dart at the map and you'll probably hit a country. Sure.
So let me ask you this. How the hell do you get into those countries? How the hell do you organize all this?
I wish I could tell you. You know, I had a friend who's from Slovakia. And very early on, and he's just as relentless as we are.
Sure. And
very early on, you know, in the 2010, 2011, he said, let me take this to Slovakia. We had no business being in Slovakia.
No.
I'd never been to Slovakia. But he took it there, and it worked. And it worked in a big way.
Boom.
And so then he started building out Eastern Europe. And I had a friend say, hey, let me bring this to Canada. I had another friend say, let me bring it to Chile. And it just worked. It worked everywhere it went. Spain, everybody said to me, would never work because the economy was so bad. Japan, we actually did studies. We did focus groups where the Japanese came in and said, no, 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 no. We're too dangerous. We don't want this. It took 4 years to get somebody in Japan. I'm living in Japan right now in order to get things going.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I moved my family around the world in order to push. And the Japanese sold out a race now in the last 3 months. My first race, boom, sold out. So it works in every culture, in every country. It's just a matter of going for it and taking that financial
risk. The risks, baby. And so so let me ask you this. The first race you did in Japan, you say, boom, it sold out. How many people took part?
It'll be on May 27th. There'll be over 6,000 people there.
Wow. Wow. And this is the great thing. I mean, the world's a smaller place now, right, with the internet. And I was speaking to Nick Horton, the founder of Body Power, which is huge now. And he was saying it actually, you know, you have to put the work in, but it isn't as hard as you can imagine to get into other countries with this beautiful thing called the internet that we've got, which has brought everyone so closer together. Would you agree?
Well, I'll tell you what I would say is, yes, that's true. It is easy to get into countries, but you've got cultural issues, you've got government issues.
Sure.
I mean, it's money. Money can solve anything. But what I will say is that there are less global companies than you think.
Right.
In other words, when we're trying to align with some big potential partners, whether it's media or sponsorship, I quickly learned that, holy smokes, we are global, but they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, most companies will say, oh, Joe, we don't need to be focused on Chile, or we don't need to be in Romania, or we're not dealing with Indonesia. And it's like, Jesus, we're more global than most companies.
Great stuff. Okay, Joe, I want to start to talk about the races now, because we spoke a little bit about business. But, you know, I know loads of my followers are going to be listening to this thinking, come on, give us some tips on how to prepare for these races. Let us know more about the types of races. So you've got three different types of race. You've got the sprint, the super, and the beast. Can you tell us a little bit about each race, why they're different, how long they are, what they entail?
Sure. So the idea was, let's have people progress from early in the season,
yep,
a three-mile race,
yep,
which is
yep
a sprint.
I like
later
that.
Later in the season, an eight-mile race. And then at the end of the season, a half marathon, 13.2 miles.
Cool.
And that's the way I raced. And so that's the way I thought people would, you know, you come out of hibernation around January, you do something shorter distance, you tune yourself up, and you progressively get more and more endurance and strength and athleticism towards the end of the year, and then you go back into hibernation for the holidays.
Sure.
So that was the concept behind that, and it worked. And we give people three different pieces of metal. So at the end of it, when they've done all three, they've earned this trifecta medal, which is coveted around the world by,
sure,
you know, hundreds of thousands of people. And our goal is just to literally get habits changed, and that's how you get habits changed, by giving them multiple events.
Yeah. So let me ask you this: the beast is the third half marathon, okay?
Correct.
Which is the most? Would you say is the most daunting obstacle in that race? The most daunting part of it?
You know, I would say it's always the spear throw, because the spear throw is a burpee maker, right? I mean, it's so hard to hit that spear.
Right.
And then you're doing 30 burpees. And 30 burpees, oof, anybody could deal with, but in the middle of you know, 13.2 miles where you're knocking out 30, that gets your heart going, and that, sure, really changes the game.
Okay, so that's the toughest one. And how are you putting together any sort of online programs to help guys prepare for these races? What kind of advice are you giving people to prepare for these races?
Yeah, so we have certified over 1,000 trainers, SGX coaches around the globe. I want to get that to 10,000. And these folks know our system, which is mostly body weight,
yep,
exercises, and they'll help train folks. But outside of that, I say, look, if you want to just come out and finish this thing, I mean, this is going to sound silly to you, but if you just walked 1 mile a day, let's say you're,
yep,
you're inactive,
yep,
and you walked a mile a day and you did 30 burpees a day and you did 30 of the best pull-ups you could do, you might have to jump up, every day you'd get fit pretty quick. Now,
yep,
if you want to go for it and try to be in the elite waves and really test yourself, well, then I'd be running 2 or 3 miles a day minimum. I'd be doing some Bikram yoga throughout the week, and I'd be doing a lot more than burpees and pull-ups. All kinds of body weight exercises on a daily basis. But,
sure,
but by the way, as long as you're fit and you're in the gym and you're doing stuff and you're working on your entire body, which a lot of us don't do, right?
Yep.
Most people are just out there running, or they get very specific in their training. You're going to be fine. You're going to get through this.
Excellent. And what would you say if you were to look at it very, very closely, what would you say your real demographic is? I mean, I know both male and women do it, but do you have a particular age that you find that you're really appealing to, or is it really just kind of everyone?
It's everyone.
Really?
It's 7 years old up to 80 years old. As crazy as that sounds, it's probably a median 32 years old. It's folks that are making, you know, very little money annually, and very wealthy people, CEOs of companies.
Sure,
I mean, it's a human sport, so it doesn't really matter. It's big people, short people, fat people, skinny people, 40% female, 60% male, but they're from everywhere, every walk of life.
So you were saying from 7 years old. Now, this is really interesting because I like to do my obstacle races. I've got two boys that are 4 and 3, so not quite that age. So you're saying that you're doing junior races for kids?
We are. We're doing a lot of junior races.
Tell us more about that, because all the guys here are sort of my age, 38 plus, and that they'll have kids. So sell that to us, buddy.
So basically, kids see this as a video game, and it's in mine and yours best interest to get that next generation out moving, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
When we were young, when I was younger, we were looking to do stuff outside because we didn't have video games inside.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
We're building stuff, doing things. So how do we get these kids going? And any kid, sorry, I had a sneeze.
That's all right, dude. That's all right, my man.
Any kid that sees this brand and sees this sport gets crazy to do it, whether it's coming out to a race or a birthday party. I mean, my kids, I'm sure your kids build obstacle courses in the living room. So
yeah.
This is just naturally exciting.
Sure. So what does the kids' race entail? How far?
The kids' race is anywhere from 1 mile to 2 miles, depending on the event.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you host the kids' event at every event you do, so all around the world?
We host a kids' event at every event around the world, yeah.
Amazing, my man. Okay, Joe, I know you're very busy. Hopefully we can talk for about another 5 or 10 minutes. So I want to ask you now about what you've got coming up. What are the next big things coming up for Spartan, and where you see yourself taking it over the next 5 to 10 years?
I think it's just continuing to grow,
yep,
continuing to build out the lifestyle component, and continuing to convince more and more people. I mean, I want to change 100 million lives.
100 million?
100 million lives is my goal. So I've,
wow,
got, let's call it 96 million to go. And when I do that, then I know I've done my job.
100 million. I've set a goal for 1 million, but 100 million, dude. That is incredible.
100 million. Let's get it done together.
Wow. So how do you plan to do that? How do you plan to reach 100 mil?
Well, it's going to require a lot of television shows, a lot,
sure,
of syndication and media. It's,
sure,
going to require a lot of countries, a lot of events. And it's going to require those people that are competing, you know, reaching out, grabbing friends, and bringing them out on the course. So
yep,
it's I'm not going to be able to do it alone.
No, you need a big team around you. And what I've heard, somebody has told me, I know you're on Jamie Alderton's podcast recently, Mindset Muscle. He's a good friend of mine. He told me about this 72-hour event you're planning.
Yeah, I've got an Agogi coming up. In,
a what?
In it's called Agogi. It was the term used back in Greece, in ancient times, in Sparta, where they took children for 7-plus years to train,
right,
from 13 years old to 20-plus years old.
And okay.
So I do the same thing with adults. We bring them out for 72 hours and just put them through hell.
72 hours.
Yeah, so I would love to have you round up a bunch of your guests on me, no charge, and bring
wow.
them out to the...
really?
To the, yeah, I've got one coming in the UK in August.
This August?
This August in Sky, and you and whoever you know, whatever, just shoot me an email. Let's do some kind of contest. I'm happy to put people through this, and we'll film it. And,
wow.
You'll have the story of a lifetime.
Oh, my gosh. So you put me on the spot there. August, 72 hours. So how the hell does this work? Because are you expected to stay awake for 72 hours?
You know, I put one on in Japan recently, in Kyoto, in the mountains, and I was leading it for quite some time, and I got to the top of a mountain, and it started pouring rain, and people hadn't slept in about 40-plus hours, and
oof.
I said, hey, guys, let's rest our head for an hour or two, and so I let people lay down under this shelter, and everybody cuddled up and got nice and warm, and I, of course, had my kettlebell with me, and I had no... cover or anything, and so I curled up on a concrete floor for, I figured, you know, an hour or two. Well, about 20 minutes later, I was frozen.
Wow.
I got up and I said, all right, everybody, let's go.
Wow.
Who knows, we may or may not take a nap.
Wow. So 72 hours. So how far is the course? How many miles would that be? And you're literally just going around as many times as possible, right?
Well, no, we're through mountains, we're going through water. It's really more of a boot camp.
Sure.
That fits the local culture. You're getting screamed at a bit. It's a scary experience, but there's nothing like it as far as transformation goes. So I would say anybody listening can do it. Trust me.
Sure.
It's going to be hell. You're going to suffer, but you're going to come out the other side a completely rewired different person. So again, it's on me. You want to round up 5, 10, whatever you want.
Wow.
It's on me.
Wow, that is incredible. Thank you so much, Joe.
Yeah.
And what date is that in August?
I don't know the exact date, but you can go online when we hang up and take a look at Agogi Sky.
Yeah.
And on Spartan.com and get some information and let's make it happen.
Dude, I would absolutely love. I've just clicked onto your website here and I see you've got one in the Bahamas, dude.
Yeah, we're all over. We're everywhere.
Incredible. Incredible, buddy. Okay, so I'm just looking now. I will definitely take you up on this very kind offer, okay?
Yeah.
So before we shoot off, Joseph, and I really appreciate your time, I will shoot you a message straight after. What makes why should people, you know, honestly, why should people choose a Spartan race over, say, something like a Tough Mudder, for example?
What's it called?
Yeah.
So listen, I think any event out there that gets people healthy is a good event,
yeah.
Right? So we just approach it a little differently. I come from the sport. I feel like I turned this into a sport, and I'm trying to get it in the Olympics. And so it's very authentic. I'm never going to do silly things to people, electrocute them, or put tear gas in a tent, because the sport doesn't do that, right? Sport doesn't just make a lot of noise and do silly things in order to attract attention. Sport is athletic and legitimate, so that's the way we approach it, and we hold you accountable. And I think if you went into a bar, hopefully you don't, because you know I don't promote drinking, even though I got to give away a free beer here and there. But if you went into a bar, you'd quickly be able to notice who the Spartans are. I mean, they would bleed for you. So it's just attracted a different crowd. You need to come out and do one.
Yeah, no, well, listen, dude, so you're going to be in Skye, which is Scotland, I believe.
Yeah.
So we've got quite a big following up there. So Guys, you're listening, you heard it here first. Joe has offered me 10 places, I believe, to come on up and do it. Let's test ourselves for 72 hours. Joe, I'm going to have 10 lads, well, 9 lads, that will be absolutely ripping my hand off for this, buddy, okay?
So let's do it.
Maybe we can turn it into a big fundraiser as well. We'll definitely make it happen. Guys, you heard that here first. Joe, you're a very busy guy, so we'll wrap up here. I'm going to 100% take you up on your very kind offer. Thanks so much for telling us all about Spartan Race. As somebody who is, you said you're 48, right?
I'm 48, yeah.
I'm 38. I'm 10 years younger than you. I'm doing a fraction of the things you are. But if I can, yeah, if I can use you as an example, then I'm sure the sky's the limit for 30-plus men's fitness too. So, guys, it was short and sweet today, but the value was immense, and that's what we're looking for is value. Joe, thanks so much for coming on, my friend. We're going to sign off now, guys. So, if you want to join me in August, 72 hours in Sky, and Joe, the Spartan Race, then yeah, just let us know. Guys, if you like this podcast, please leave a review, give it a share, let us know what you think of it, and yeah, just pass it around on social media. We'll really appreciate that. Guys, once again, it's been Coach Trex from 30 Plus Men's Fitness, and Joe DeSena, the CEO of Spartan Race. Joe, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, guys, have a great day, and keep trucking.